and turn to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we are continuing our study in John's Gospel. And we've seen the last few weeks, we've been looking at the resurrection. And we're still on the first day of the resurrection. We saw Mary last week. We looked at the encounter that Mary had with the Lord Jesus Christ last week, and looked at the importance of the offering that the Lord was about to make. So he said to Mary, "Touch me not, for I have not ascended yet to my Father." So he gave a commission to Mary to go to his brethren. And we ended last week in verse 18 of John chapter 20, where Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. So we're going to continue our reading in verse 19. And it says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained." Let's pray. Father, thank you again for this time together this morning, for this opportunity to come around your word. And Father, we just pray that you would speak to our hearts today. The one thing that we desperately need in this world today is peace. We see so much turmoil. We see so much political anguish. We see so much hatred between our fellow man. But today, Lord, we ask that we would understand the perfect peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we would understand the peace that is afforded to us as a child of God. And Father, no matter how much turmoil the world is in, we can still appreciate that peace that you have left with us. So Father, we just pray now that if there's anyone here this morning that has yet to experience the peace of God that passes understanding, that today they would come to a saving knowledge of Christ. For the child of God who is struggling to recognize that peace and to hold on to that peace. And today, Lord, I pray that you, as you did with the disciples on that most distressing day, that you would stand in our midst today and whisper those words to our hearts, peace be unto you. So, Father, we just pray now that you would speak to us through your word, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. So, we see here that this, the morning revelations then that were made at the tomb to Mary and the disciples have given way now to the evening revelations. And what a day it has been. How incredible. You wonder, we looked at a couple of weeks ago after the events of the crucifixion, as the Lord's body was laid in the ground, and you just imagined everybody's kind of going on with their normal routine. Pilate talking to his wife about the events of the day, and the Sanhedrin going off then and hypocritically enjoying their Passover. And you wonder what's going on now tonight. The news of the Lord's body disappearing has certainly reached the ranks of the Sanhedrin. You can imagine the displeasure that was expressed in their ranks against Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus. They had now boldly stood up and claimed that they were disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. News has broken through, I'm sure, that the Lord's body has been taken. Maybe Pilate is less concerned because he's received the reports of the centurions that these strange happenings have taken place at the tomb. And maybe he's not that bothered. What is going on amongst the disciples? You know, they have scattered because the Lord was crucified, and now they're gathered afraid in the upper room. Maybe they've talked about what has taken place. The two disciples, and we look at this in a little while now, the two disciples have arrived from Emmaus and explained the events. Mary Magdalene has come and told the disciples what the Lord told her in the garden. Peter and John have seen for themselves the empty tomb. And how incredible that on this day, that these disciples would certainly have some answers to their questions, as it were. The day was the first day of the week, so this was our Sunday. It's possible that the time was no sooner than 8 o'clock, since according to Luke, the two disciples that the Lord had met on the road to Emmaus had time to make the trip back to Jerusalem. And you can imagine the hubbub of the conversation, the excited talk that evening. Some were still skeptical. Mark tells us that they did not believe them either. In Mark chapter 16 and verse 12 to 13, it says, "After that, he appeared in another form unto two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them." Some were convinced that the Lord had appeared to Mary Magdalene and that he appeared to some of the other women. But the testimony of the women wasn't taken seriously. But since then, he also appeared privately to Peter. Luke 24:34 says, "Saying the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon." So it now seems that he's appeared to the Emmaus couple, he's appeared to Mary, he's appeared to Simon. And the disciples were naturally afraid of the Sanhedrin. They were afraid that at any moment they could start proceedings against them. They were already accused of stealing the body. Men who had hesitated to murder their master were not likely to hesitate to attack them if they decided that it fitted their narrative. So the door was shut, they were locked away, and they were afraid. In spite of the security that the upper room afforded them, in spite of the security that the locked door afforded them, they were still not at rest. They were still not at peace. And how incredible that even though we've been on lockdown for these past few months, even though we've been in the safety of our own home, sometimes the peace evades us. Sometimes when we forget about the presence of the Lord, we don't get to enjoy his peace. And it's the same with the disciples. They were locked behind closed doors, and yet they were not really at peace. You imagine the thoughts that go through their mind. They had been unfaithful to the Lord. They had departed when they'd gone, when the going got tough. They were nowhere to be seen. If the Lord was resurrected, and, you know, what would they say to him the first time that they saw him? He knew that they had deserted him. He even told them that that's what they would do. Peter knew that he had denied him, and the Lord had told Peter that's what he would do. So I just wonder how they felt, what was going through their minds. Would the Lord greet them with words like, "Shame on you," because they certainly deserved it? Will he demand an explanation for their betrayal? Would he turn around and say, "Do you know what? I got nothing more to say to you. I want nothing more to do with you. You're just nothing but a bunch of failures." We know that that's not what the Lord would say to the disciples. How incredible that when he finally gets to meet the men, as he gathers in that upper room, his words are, "Peace be unto you." And that word there is shalom. Talks about an inner well-being. It talks about being saved from troubles. And the word shalom is not used flippantly. The Lord Jesus Christ offers peace in spite of their failures. The Lord offers us peace in spite of our failures. Psalm 103 and verse 10 says, "He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities." The cross of Calvary brings peace. We are justified by faith, and because of that, we have peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans 10:15 says, "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things." There is no way to have peace except by being reconciled to God. There is no way to be reconciled to God except by the way of the cross. We cannot have peace in this world. And no matter what peace deals are signed, no matter what peace treaties are signed, we cannot have the peace of God that passes understanding without the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way. How incredible that when the Lord came into the upper room and said to the men, "Peace, be still," they were afraid. They had assembled for fear. That's what verse 19 says. It says, "Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews." They were afraid. They were in fear. And then the Lord speaks to them, "Peace be still." And it says, when he had so said, he showed them his hands and his sides. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. How incredible that the disciples could go from such fear. The disciples could go from being so afraid. The disciples could go from being locked in a room. Could be fearing for their lives. And the Lord Jesus Christ speaks one sentence to them. And then they were glad. What we need in this midst of anxiety, in this midst of fear, in this midst of uncertainty, is the Lord's peace. We need the Lord to just simply step alongside us and say to us, "Child, peace be unto you. I've already granted you my peace. I've already paid for this peace. I've already given you the opportunity to have this peace. You just need to accept it. You just need to rest in the peace that I've already given you." The disciples were glad. We have peace. We have rest. We have security in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need today more than ever to hold on to that fact. Because we are living in uncertain times. We are living in a day where peace is few and far between. Each and every individual, as the minute we wake up in the morning, the thought is what's going on in the world. The thought is, when will this lockdown end? When will this pandemic pass? When will things get back to normal? And we don't have peace. And we need to claim it each and every day. The peace that passes understanding, the peace that Christ has purchased for us, we need to lay hold of that. We have peace. Why? We have peace because our adversary is defeated. We've been delivered from the clutches of Satan. Satan was once our father. John 8:44 says, "Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do." He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. The devil's a liar. And we don't have, you know, the world doesn't have peace because the devil simply reminds people of their sins. Can I say this? The devil knows your name, but he calls you by your sins. God knows your sins, but he calls you by your name. Our adversary is defeated upon the cross of Calvary. The devil was defeated. He only managed to bruise the Lord's heel. But Satan was defeated. Now his head is not crushed yet until the end of the days, as it were, before the eternal state is brought in. The devil's head is not crushed. But he is defeated. He is no longer our father. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, then God is your Father. And we're able to come before him and say, "Abba, Father." We're able to come before him and pray to him as our Father. "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." We've gone from one destiny to another. The devil is no longer our father if you've trusted Christ as your Savior. God is our Father. "He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." The power of Satan and sin over the lives of the Christian has been broken. We are like prisoners that have been delivered from the prison. Here's the thing. What happened that night that the prison doors were open? Did they remain in the prison? No, they didn't. Can you imagine a prisoner who, you know, when the doors are open, just simply stay in there? Can you imagine a prisoner when his sentence has been completed and when he's been offered parole? Can you imagine a prisoner saying, "No, actually, I think I'll just stay here incarcerated"? They enjoy the freedom. Can I say this? We've been set free from the bondage of sin. We are no longer a prisoner of Satan. We're no longer a prisoner of sin. We're no longer a prisoner of circumstances. We're free. Our enemy has been defeated. How sad that Alexander the Great subdued the world about him, but he was conquered by his own lust. And in the end, he died in a drunken stupor. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. We have peace because our adversary is defeated. We have peace because our awareness is activated. You know, I've talked about this in the past. You know, when you get up in the middle of the night and, you know, the room is dark and, you know, you don't really know where things are, and it takes a while for your eyes to adjust. And if you've ever walked in a dark cave, it's not very peaceful sometimes because there's a little bit of uneasiness. And that's pretty much describes a person who is lost. It describes a person's life before they're saved. They're walking in darkness. They have no peace. In Christ, we have peace. We have light. We have direction. We have a purpose. But if our gospel is hid, it is hid to them that are lost. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. And then verse 6 of 2 Corinthians 4 says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Our awareness is activated. You know, the light has been switched on. You know, you see sometimes cartoons about, you know, that light bulb moment. The light switch comes, or the light bulb comes above their heads. And when you become a Christian, your eyes are opened. So many times people have talked to me and have said, oh, do you know what, for the first time my eyes are open. For the first time I can see the world for what it really is. You wonder why people blindly walk through this life and just accept everything that has been told to them. And you think, how are people falling for that rubbish? Well, because the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And yes, at this present moment in time, Satan is the God of this world. He is the prince and power of the air. And he's blinded the minds of them that believe not. And people are walking around in darkness. But for us, our awareness has been activated. Our eyes have been open. And we see the world for what it is. We see the Lord for who he is. We see our sins for what they are and the damage that they can do and have done. But we have peace because our awareness is activated. We recognize now that our hope is not in the world. Our hope is not in our politicians. Our hope is not in anything but the Lord Jesus Christ. This might sound, because obviously the message today is all about peace, and this next point might sound a little bit pointless, but we have peace because our anxieties are alleviated. Nothing is so calming and restful than to be able to pass a problem onto something else. You know, I don't know if you've ever been in a difficult situation, you've ever been in a circumstance where you've not known what to do, and maybe you were doing a project in school and maybe you couldn't get it done. I remember Eve one time had to do a paper mache of the valley that we live in. What on earth is all that about? Thankfully, Jo is she's the crafty one in the household, but she is the crafty one in more senses than one. Eve was a little bit panicked. I think if memory serves me right, she'd left the project till probably the last day and then said, oh, ma'am, I got a project to do by tomorrow and I don't know what to do. And she was a little bit stressed about it. And then Joseph, right, come on, we'll sort this out. And she got the project done. Now, you might say, what has that got to do with peace? Sometimes we face situations in our lives where we really don't know what to do. We don't know how to handle the situation. We don't know where to turn, and we can become a bit anxious about it. But when we know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, we have somebody who can solve our problems. We have somebody who knows what is needed. Casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. psychiatrist had this sign in his office. He said, in 2 days, tomorrow, with all of its worries, will be yesterday. And it sounds a bit cliche to say that, you know, today is a gift from God and maybe that's why it's called the present. It's incredible when we know Christ as our Saviour that our anxieties are alleviated. You know when you have the peace of God because you simply cannot worry. I remember one time when we were being called into ministry and, you know, Joe and I were both leaving well-paid jobs and people said to us that we were crazy and what are you doing? And to be honest with you, we should have been a lot more worried about it. The thought should have been, how will we provide for our family? How will we manage, you know, going from these incredible jobs and how? But we weren't worried, why? Because God had given us a peace. And Joe said back then, it's incredible. She said, the peace of God is the inability to worry about things. And that's so right. That is what God's peace is. It's an inability to worry. Why? Because our anxieties have been alleviated. We don't worry about death. Why? Because Christ has already paid the price. There's no victory in the grave. There's no sting in death. We don't worry about tomorrow. Why? Because God's already taken care of tomorrow. We don't need to worry because God has given us a peace and our anxieties are alleviated. We have peace because our affairs are arranged. How many of you have ever had a test or an assignment to be done and have been unprepared? I was useless in school. I was terrible. I didn't do homework. I perhaps shouldn't say this, but I learned to forge my father's signature quite early on in my school days so I could sign my homework book with his signature. And he had a really difficult signature, still got a difficult signature. I could sign my homework book to say that my homework was done when it wasn't. I could sign the detention slip when I was in detention and Dad didn't need to find out. It didn't help the fact that for the first year of my schooling, my dad was actually a teacher in the comprehensive school that I went to. And I was never really good at preparing for tests or anything. And even though I tried to be a bit, there was a bit of bravado, like, I'm not worried. There always was a bit of anxiety because of that unpreparedness. There was a panic. You know, in later life, if we've got something that we haven't done that needs to be done by a certain time, we can panic, we can be frantic, we can feel pressured or frustrated or worried or restless. And I wonder if that describes the situation that you are facing right now. Are you restless? Are you anxious? Are you unprepared? Does that describe a situation? Here's the thing. In Christ, we are prepared. As morbid as this may sound, we are prepared for death. High in the Canadian Rockies, there is a rushing stream called Divide Creek. And at one point in its course, the river reaches this large boulder. The water which travels to the left of the boulder rushes down the Kicking Horse River and finally goes out into the Pacific Ocean. The water which travels to the right of the boulder makes it down into the Bow River, which empties into two more rivers and then goes into the Atlantic Ocean. Once the river divides at that boulder, its ultimate destiny is decided. Downstream from that great rock, the course cannot be altered. The left side goes to the Pacific, the right side goes to the Atlantic. Can I say this? That every person at some point will come to that boulder in their life. You will have to make a choice. And once you make that choice, your course cannot be altered. The great divide determines one's eternal destination and whether you can have that abundant life. We have eternal life at salvation, but we can have an abundant life here on earth. Every person meets his dividing point where you have to decide whether or not to reject or accept Christ. He, John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:6, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. Can I ask you this question? Are you ready for your departure? Are you ready to meet your Maker? How incredible that we've not been able to travel now for this past year. But when we were allowed to travel, how much preparation goes into our choosing our holiday? How much preparation goes into choosing what clothes to take, what we need to pack? And, you know, that's just a trip that we are taking for maybe a week or a fortnight. This trip, if you like, that we are getting ready to take lasts for eternity. And we need to be prepared. Are you prepared for a departure? Here's the thing. 10 out of 10 people die. As morbid as that sounds, everyone has to face that point. The question is where will you spend eternity? Depending on the choice that you make with the Lord Jesus Christ will depend upon which river you go down, which eternal destination you end up at. If you accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour, then from that moment in time, your destiny is heaven. But if you choose to reject Christ, then your destiny will be an eternity without Him. Your destiny will be in a place called hell. And God is not willing that any should perish. God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men are. His long-suffering to westward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Are you ready to go? Are you packed, as it were? Not that you need any baggage, but are you packed? Are you heaven bound? The only thing you need to go to heaven is to accept Christ as your personal Saviour. Are you ready? Our affairs are arranged so we can have peace. Our account is settled. Have you ever had a long-standing bill that you finally paid off? How exciting is that to finally, if you've taken out a loan and you've been paying that monthly payment year after year, and then finally it's settled, or maybe your mortgage is paid off, and you know, when you make that final payment and you pay that final bill and the account is settled, oh, there's a relief. You've no longer got that financial burden over your head. We have a peace that cannot be bought because our accounts are settled. Our sin debt is paid. The debt for sin is death. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered the world, Romans 5:12 says, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The price for our sin has been paid. And our sin account with God was settled when we trusted Christ as our Savior. That's why I love word studies. And when the Lord cried, "It is finished," from the cross, that word, the Greek word used, is tetelestai. And it means so much more than simply being complete. One of the descriptions of the word is used as an accounting term, meaning paid in full, meaning that a debt has been paid. Christ paid our sin debt. It is a debt that we could never hope to pay off. And Christ paid it all for us upon the cross. Our accounts are settled. Our sin has been paid. Our sin account with God has a stamp across it, paid in full. Therefore, Romans 5:1 says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We live in a confusing world. We live in a world where peace is few and far between today. For the past year, we've lived in uncertainty, in turmoil, in anxiety. But for the child of God, for the Christian, that peace is always available to us. We don't have to lock ourselves in a room, even though in some sense we are locked away. But Christ is in our midst. Christ has promised to never leave us and to never forsake us. And He stands here. If you know Christ today, wherever you are, Wherever you are, whatever screen you sat around watching this, wherever you are, if you know Christ as your Savior, then He's in your midst right now. And He will say to you, child, peace be unto you. The world cannot take away the peace that we have. The Lord said in Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And that's what we need. You know, not only do we have rest from our sins, we have rest from our sorrows. We have rest from our struggles. And that's available to us. Why? Not because of who we are, not because of what we've done, but because of who Christ is, because of what Christ has done. Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And maybe you need that this morning. Maybe you are saved, and maybe you know Christ as your Saviour, but you're like the disciples, locked in that upper room, for fear of what's going on in the world, for fear of what people might say, for fear of what people might do, for fear of what is happening. But we just need to hear those words from our precious Saviour, who's already granted us His peace. We just need to hear Him say, child, peace be unto you. Hebrews 4:9 says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. We're secured in Christ. Have you ever been in a storm? I know we've had a few these past few weeks, and you know, the last one that came upon us, Christoph, was quite unsettling. But have you ever been in a storm? I was in Kansas one time with work. I was an aircraft engineer before I went into the ministry, and we had a facility out in Wichita in Kansas. And the only thing I ever knew of Kansas was Dorothy Gale. And the Twister, and so I was in Kansas, and I'd never been there before. And as we were driving from the airport, you just noticed these you know, these signs about tornadoes and these warning systems, and the town that we were staying in had all of these sirens through the town if there was a tornado that came through. And we were in the factory one day working, and all the tornado sirens went off, and I was a little apprehensive, to say the least. I was like, what on earth is going on? Because they were loud. But all the people in the factory were quite blasé about it. It's like, oh, tornado siren. And I was like, what is going on? Why aren't people running around panicking? Why aren't people, like, stressing out? Why are people so, you know, yes, tornado siren? I didn't know why until we were taken to one of their massive conference rooms. That conference room doubled up as a storm shelter. Everybody wasn't blasé about the tornado. Everybody was confident about the shelter. Why? Because from their experience, they knew how good the shelter was. From their experience, they knew how safe they were in that shelter. That's what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what storm rages around us, no matter how long this storm of this pandemic continues to sweep our nation and the world, we still have a peace with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are still sheltered with the Lord. Why? Because Psalm 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. The Lord can calm that storm in our lives, like He did for the disciples when He stood up and just said to the wind and the waves, peace, be still. When He came to the disciples in the storm walking on the water, what did He say? Fear not, it is I, peace be unto you. Again, we have that peace, we have that shelter, we have that rest in the storm. If the Lord can calm the storm at sea, then He can calm the storm in our lives. How incredible that the word peace comes from the Latin word pax. That word comes from a root word pack, which means to fasten. The background meaning of the word peace has the idea of fastening to achieve a stable condition. We haven't felt stable in this past year. We've not known what the next day may bring. What's going to happen? How many more restrictions are going to be placed on us? How many more deaths are there going to be? When is there going to be a light to this at the end of this tunnel? And we've not been stable. But we have that available to us because of Christ's peace, because of his rest. Our salvation is fastened upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We are secured in him. All that the Father giveth unto me, he said in John 6:37, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. In John 10:28, he says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone pluck them out of my hand. Our salvation is secured in the Lord, but so is our peace. We have peace because our account is settled. When we yield to the Lord, there's no more conflict between us and God. Peace is a result. The Christian has peace because we know where we came from and we know where we're going. And let the peace of God, Colossians 3:15 says, rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Do you have peace today? Do you have a peace to know that your salvation is secured? Maybe you worry about death. If you've ever heard Jo's testimony, I know she shared it to the ladies, but even as a young age, she says she remembers thinking, even as a toddler, their family weren't brought up in church, they never went to church every week. But Jo says she remembers thinking, even as a toddler, I'm not good enough for heaven. Before the days of seatbelts being compulsory, her mum and dad had a fruit and veg shop, and her dad would drive the van around the streets delivering fruit and veg way before Tesco started doing home deliveries, and he would drive a van around delivering the fruit and veg. And Jo used to sit on the boxes in the back of the van. And she said in her testimony, she remembers thinking, if I fell out of this van now, I'd die. And I'm not good enough to go to heaven. And she said that always frightened her. We don't have peace. People are not sure of where they go in. And that's unsettling. And maybe that describes you today. Maybe you were unnerved with what's going on in the world today because death is a reality, because that's all we hear of every single day is the number of deaths. And maybe that frightens you. Can I say this morning? You don't need to be frightened. If you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour, then he'll grant you a peace. Now that doesn't mean that death suddenly disappears. That means that there's no victory in the grave and there's no sting in the death. Because to be absent from the body is then simply to be present with the Lord. You can have that peace if you trust Christ as your Saviour. Maybe you're a child of God this morning. And maybe we've forgotten about the peace of God. Maybe we've been so concentrated on the storm around us that we have forgotten that the Lord is actually asleep, as it were, in our boat. Maybe we just need to hear those words, shh, peace, be still. Maybe we need to hear the Lord say to us once again, child, peace be unto you. Maybe we need today more than ever that peace to be fastened, to be secured in a topsy-turvy world. That we need to be secured in a storm that is raging all around us. We just need to feel the Lord's peace. We, like the disciples, are locked behind our doors. But there are many people who are locked behind their doors in the safety of their home that still don't have peace because they're still worried about tomorrow. They're still worried about what's going on in the world today. And they're still worried about what's going to happen next. Maybe that describes you this morning. And maybe you just need to hear the Lord's voice as he comes alongside you and says, child, peace be unto you. I'm still with you in your boat as you're tossed about in the storm. I'm still with you in the upper room as you're locked behind closed doors, cowering in fear. I'm still with you, and my peace is still available unto you. Do you know him as your Savior? If you don't, you need to make that decision today. If you're a child of God and you are struggling because of a lack of peace in your life, be mindful that he's never left you, that he will never forsake you, that he will never ever leave you, and his peace is always available to you. You just need to be reminded of those words of our Saviour, peace be unto you. Let's pray. Father, thank you again, Lord, for this time together this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to come around your word. And Father, we just pray today that you'd help us to recognise that peace. Help us to realise that this is a peace that the world simply can't give us. That this is not a peace that the world gives. This is a peace that passes understanding. This is a peace that will help us be anchored and secured and fastened in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our great rock. And just as that stream comes to a rock in Canada and goes to the left or to the right and goes to two different destinies, we too come to the rock of the Lord Jesus Christ. We can accept him and take a path that leads to heaven, or we can reject him and take a path that leads to hell. Father, for those who are at that point today, I pray that they would make the right decision in coming to know Christ as their Saviour. For those of us who have already made that decision, help us to realise and recognise the peace of God that passes understanding, that we might be able to not only get through these times of difficulty, but that we might be able to thrive in these times of difficulty. We pray and ask these things in Christ's name, that his light and love might shine through our lives. Amen. Amen. All right, well, what were you going to...